Children, you may be dismissed to go with your teacher. Amen. I thank God for this day. I thank God for our morning worshipers. Amen. I thank God for each and every one of you in your respective places. Amen. Truly, God is good to us.
Amen.
Amen. Grace and mercy renewed every day for us. Amen. 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 Turn, if you will, to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Amen. I like what Sister O'Bannon says. She get excited off of her own plane. That is so true, because I say this, with me preaching God's word, if I can't get excited off the word, I can't expect you to get excited. Amen.
Amen.
I know a lot of times people grab the mic. They want people to, you know, start shouting and praising God because they got the mic. But the thing is, if I can't get excited of God's word on my own, I can expect for you to get excited. Amen. We have to first show some enthusiasm and some excitement. Amen. Amen. I guarantee you, whatever team you're cheering for out there on the ball field, nobody's got to tell you to clap or scream or holler or do anything. It's going to come automatically when your team score a point. Amen. Or if they win the championship, amen, you're going to let everybody know. Amen. Some of you may even paint your faces and all of that type of stuff when you go to a game. Amen. But you're showing your enthusiasm and your excitement about what is going on and who you're cheering for. Amen. You let it be known what my team is or who my team is. You know, we wear the jersey, paint our faces, do whatever we can, and let folks know this is who I'm rooting for. So how much more when we come into the house of prayer, or if we're out there in the world to let everybody know whose side we on? Amen? Amen. I just believe we ought to let it be known. Amen. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Amen. I got some grass to cut here, so bear with me a little bit. Amen. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Amen. For the reading of God's word. Amen. Throughout the Christian era, this parable has been referred to as the parable of the 10 virgins. It would be just as true if we called it the parable of the 10 professing Christians or the parable of the 10 church members. The Lord used the word virgin to symbolize the upright character of all 10. We need to understand that God is trying to get a message to us this morning. Many church members, or if you wish, professing Christians, are dependent upon their moral character. People think because they are a good person that that's good enough, amen, to get them into heaven. Character is very important, but good character alone will not save you. Amen? It won't save you, because our salvation is by grace through faith, not of ourselves. Amen? All the 10 virgins were doctrinally on the same page, but that was not enough. Each one knew that a wedding was going to take place, okay, at some undisclosed time, and that the only one lacking in the wedding party was the groom himself. All 10 virgins expressed an expectation that the bridegroom will appear at some point in time. All 10 were dressed for the occasion. The foolish one took their lamps, but did y'all read that? What it said, they didn't take no oil with them. I'ma translate that for you. The wise, however, took oil in their jars along with their lamps. The five who had oil for their lamps were able to trim their lamps and light them and welcome the bridegroom. The foolish five had no oil. Many of you may not be able to relate to the 10 virgins, so I'm going to help you. Let me help you understand this parable. How many of you ever run out of gas? No one likes being stuck on the side of the highway. If you're a driver with a tight schedule waiting for roadside assistance, that's something that you really can't afford to do. Besides flat tires and batteries and misplaced keys, running out of gas is actually up there as one of the main things that people get stranded. The reason why is because we don't take heed to the warning signs. I mean, we have warning messages that tells us our fuel is running low. And then an urgent message, not only when your fuel light comes on, it tells you that your fuel is running low, but there is also another message that would tell you how many miles you have to go before you are empty. Amen? It indicates to you, letting you know what you have left in the tank. People who run out of gas, run out of fuel, are without an excuse. You see the warning, but you're not paying attention to it. So in this text, we're not talking about gasoline, but we're talking about oil. Okay, throughout the Old Testament, we find oil that, in other words, what I'm saying is the oil is really, it symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Okay, there is no question that the parable of the oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit. The five were wise and had the Holy Spirit in their vessel. I'm talking about in them. The other five who didn't have anything, in other words, they didn't have the Holy Spirit with them. See, this is a reason you all need to understand some. God is trying to get us to see this picture. Not everybody that comes to church or say they are Christians are not really Christians. Y'all be real with this now. We got 10 here. They all look alike, walk alike, and all that type of stuff, but there's something missing. And what he was trying to get you to see, that there's five that had the Holy Spirit, but then there's five that didn't. That's what he's saying to you. Now, you may come to church every Sunday, You may come and pay your tithes. You may help Brother Moore out or Brother Mitch out or Brother Pittman out. But guess what? If you ain't got the Holy Spirit in you, hey, man, I'm going to tell you something. Lord's going to say, I don't know you. I don't know who you are. I mean, you. I saw you there. I was keeping attendance, but you didn't. You lacked something, and that was the Spirit. So, the five, and this is another reason I'm gonna tell you. I always look at the five as, you know, riding on Christian's coattail. Can you give us something? You know, all people always want. Can you give us some more? Can you? God is basically saying, you don't have to be scared to say no, Christians. You ain't going to go to hell for saying no. Amen? These five were blessed. So don't act like no is a bad word for Christians to say. If you have a problem saying no, come talk to me. I will counsel you, and I will help you say no. Amen. Y'all see the degree on the wall in there? It's in counseling. I will help you say no. You don't have to say yes all the time. And just because people say, oh, man, I can't believe you a loving Christian. You ain't going to turn me down? The five virgins turned those other five down, right? But they tell them, they told him, that's right. They told him to go get your own. Go get your own. That sure did. Go buy your own stuff. So, you know, folks always want to come over and see what you got so they know what they can borrow from you. That's why folks don't get invitations over to houses like they used to. They don't want you to see. And if you do come over, they make sure they put it up. That list that I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just preaching. If it hits you, it just hits you. But don't get me. When I'm done, I'm still the same person I was when I got up here. I got to live with you all. So what signs and signals our Lord is just giving us? All kinds of signs. He's telling us all the time, you know, what is going to happen, what is going to take place, falling away from the church. People don't even want to come to church. I bet you people say, well, shoot, I was going to go to church, but, you know, man, I was just tired. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you get ready to go to work, let me hear you say that. You still press your way. Amen. Jesus spoke to them about the last days. He made it clear that in the end would be it would not come immediately, but only after considerable time and trouble. Keep in mind, as I said last Sunday, think about this: 1,000 years is as of a day to God. He's outside of time, so we're looking at 2018, right? Well, to God, that's only 2 days. Y'all, come on now. We talking about God, not man. 2018, that's a long time for us. But to God, God is saying it's only 2 days. God is saying, when I said this, this was only 2 days ago. He's outside of time. You cannot define God like you define a man. He's different. So our Lord issued various warnings. Because during these terrible and troubled times, there will be many things that are going to happen that we need to pay attention to. Now, although we are meant to recognize the season, our Lord's return, we're not meant to know the exact time, nor the day, nor the hour. This is consistent with God's dealing with the world in the past when he dealt with Noah. Noah didn't know the day nor the hour, but Noah did know the season. How did I know he know the season? Well, you building that big old ark. I bet you know the season. God know he knows that the time is at hand, that God is getting ready to destroy. But when the wrath of God came, he didn't know the day nor the hour. All God said was, stop, get in the boat. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just making it very plain and simple. Stop, get in the boat, get the animals, let's go, let's row. It's time to row. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We get ready to undock. We get ready to roll. We get ready to ship out. Those who ain't ready, they ain't ready. You done preach this word constantly to these people. They ain't paying attention. They just doing whatever they want to do, drinking, eating, marrying, all this kind of stuff, just doing all kind of sinful stuff. God said, come on, let's roll, man. Let's get up out of here. You're done. So on that day, Noah entered the ark accompanied by his sons and only eight people. The whole world, only eight people. I mean, that's not a good percentage. That's bad. Y'all understand what I'm saying? That's a horrible percentage. Only eight? Are we talking about the world? Noah spent many years building an ark, building and building it. Man, I know that had to be frustrating building that, and you ain't seen a drop of rain. Y'all know folks will talk about you, make fun of you, do anything. You know, folks don't approve of it. They'll make fun of you. And I say all kind of stuff. You don't know what Noah went through. So the same would be true in the last days for us. We don't know the day nor the hour. We don't know when we're going to check out here. Now, we may be looking for all of us collectively, and we saying that the Lord shall appear. But here's the thing. We're dropping off one by one. So stop looking at it as these last days, but look at it as maybe your last days. I mean, you got to. That's why this walk with Christ is personal. Because we have to look at it from a personal perspective. You know, the same would be true, again, in the last days. There would be no indication as to the day nor the hour. I mean, the Bible talks about there would be two in the field going about their normal daily routine. One would be taken, another would be left. Two women would be grinding at the mill just as they normally would. In other words, this is just saying that people will go about their day-to-day operation. I think that if anyone knew that those planes were going to fly into the World Trade Center, they would not have went there. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They had no idea. So I'm trying to get you to understand we don't know. But blessed be to God that you got your business taken care of. Man, it feels a lot better when you got things in order, don't it? I mean, I feel real good when I'm prepared for a meeting, when I'm prepared for a discussion, when I'm prepared for a situation, when I have been briefed. You understand what I'm saying? When I have been in tune to what is going on, now when the situation comes to me, I can address it. Since no one can know the day nor the hour that the Lord will appear, then we must be constantly in a state of alertness, ready at any moment. We may not be able to relate to these 10 virgins or anything like that. We may not be able to understand some of these parables that is being said to us because Jesus related into their time and into their situation because this is what they did and this is what their custom was. So let me tell you about a time that we living in that we need to understand in the means of being ready. Jesus was giving an example to them because this was their custom about being ready and being prepared. So what do we know about readiness in our society today? What do we know about being ready and staying ready? What do we see and what do we understand as always staying ready? Well, I thought of something. I thought about the first responders. Firemen are trained and equipped to fight fires, right? They know there will be fires, but they don't know when. I mean, if they did know, they had the hose out there ready. But they don't know. You understand what I'm saying? So I'll try to relate this to where you can understand this and understand what it is to mean to be ready. And so what they do is stay in a constant state of readiness even when they are asleep. Their clothing is always laid out so they can quickly dress and get to the fire. Sometimes I see that the fire truck is parked outside of the stores. And you're like, oh, what's going on in there? Well, ain't nothing going on. They're shopping. But they got the truck with them. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They got the uniforms with them. They got the radio with them. Why? Because they have to stay in a state of readiness in case they get a call that it's time for them to go and take care of business. What I'm trying to say is that the Christians should be in the same situation. We don't know the day nor the hour that the Lord shall appear, so we should always stay in a state of readiness. We should already have our business taken care of. We should already be prepared, prayed up. This is why you don't need to let somebody burn your gas, get you all messed up. Stay in a state of readiness. You ain't got time for that. We need to understand the first responders face dangers on a daily basis. So do we. We're in a constant state of danger all around us. But see, they are trained to be on guard. We should be trained to be on guard. Or we should understand our training that we need to be on guard. If they are not on guard, guess what? They may become the victim instead of helping a victim. This is why we need to stay ready as Christians. Because if we don't stay in a state of readiness, then we're going to become a victim. Amen? Then we're going to be in that position. You're going to allow this person to allow you to lose your salvation. Amen? I'm not going to let somebody do that to me. So we need to understand that we also face danger. The life you save, some may be your own. Amen? Paul says in the Word of God, be on guard. Be on guard. Why is it so important to be on guard? It says in a word that, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. You know, sometimes we must go through the refiner's fires in life to become all we are meant to be. It's not easy. I'm going to tell you that. It's not easy. Trust me. I could be up here preaching 1 minute, but then I'm going to tell you something. When I leave here, I'm a man. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm a man. I hurt. I feel just like you feel. But it's how I respond. It takes courage to face the refiner fires. It purifies, cleanses, and strengthens. Our first responders go through the refiner's fire of training, and that training is not easy. Not even for law enforcement. Man, they take you through something. I've never been in the military before, but they tell me if you can't make it out of basic training, you in trouble. That's what I heard. I've never been there, but I heard that it's brutal. They talk about the gas chamber and all that type of stuff. I don't know anything about it, but I heard that it is brutal. So our firefighters are ready to face the challenges when a fire is called in because they have been through the refiner fires and training where they encounter the real deal. Getting through the fire academy is not an easy task. Some go home. In other words, they're not cut out. Let me tell you something. If think about this. It's not funny, but, I mean, imagine somebody who has never been a firefighter or haven't had training or whatever. They come in to try to save you. They got on the equipment, but they don't know how to pull you out of the fire. They look like a firefighter. They're dressed there. I mean, they got all they look like it. But they can't do anything to get you out. In other words, you need somebody trained who has been through to get you out of what your situation is. It's the same way with us as believers. This is why God said, forsake not to assemble yourself among the household of faith. Why? It's because we are strength to one another's. A lot of times, your testimony, what you say from your words, can touch somebody's heart that's sitting next to you. It may not come from me most of the time. It may come from you. You have the word of God inside of you that you can speak. And not only that, you have some people that in your that's in your world that I may not never see, touch, or feel, or anything. But you are close to them. So therefore, the word is given to you. So many, you know, the firefighters, the first responders, guess what? They all have faith. Y'all know what I mean about that? See, without faith, it would be impossible for a firefighter to do his or her job. I'm talking about law enforcement too, EMT, all of them. It'd be impossible for them to do their job. You may say, well, wait a minute. I know a first responder, and they ain't talking about God. They ain't talking about religion. Let me say this to you. Maybe not, but they learn to have faith in their training. Y'all follow me? They have faith in their training because they know that their training tells them what to do in this situation. You talk to a nurse will tell you the same thing. Her training tells her what to do in this situation. They're equipped, and their partner or fellow first responder, as a co-worker as well, is also equipped. They know what to do in this situation. Let me tell you something. If many of us who have no training, think about this. We have no training. If somebody was bleeding, I mean, like just blood just coming out, we probably sit there like, wow, that blood is really coming out of them. But in the meantime, they need somebody to get some gauze and cut, apply pressure. But we sitting there going like, wow, I ain't never seen blood come out like that. But somebody who's trained in that situation will immediately go to what they're trained to do in that type of situation to help that person. Man, I wish Christians were the same way when we see our fellow brothers and sisters in need that is being attacked by the devil, that we will immediately go into prayer, that we don't have to have somebody to ask us to pray for them. We should already know that you ain't looking right. You ain't walking right. Amen. I had that happen to me one time. Man, I was really having a bad time on my job. Man, I was being attacked. And I was just down and out, man. And I was going to this event, and I was walking in, and this lady immediately, she grabbed me. She said, come here. And she pulled me up to the other room. She immediately started praying for me. That was powerful because I was going through something. This lady didn't know what I was going through, but one thing she knew about me was that my head was hanging too low for me to be a child of God. So she had to snatch me in another room and pray for me. That to me was powerful because she was a first responder to me. Because she saw that her brother was in need, and she grabbed me immediately and snatched me out of that situation and brought me over and started praying for me. To me, that was the most powerful thing I've ever experienced in my Christian walk. She said, you serve a God. She had to remind me who God is. I knew God, but she had to remind me. You know what I'm saying? This is why I tell people we have to reflect on the past, the present, and the future because God can do all of it. And God is basically saying that I can repeat what I've done in the past. Don't think because you haven't seen the Red Sea parted before that I can't do it again. God said I can do a repeat performance if I want to. But he's capable to do a what? New thing. So we need to understand who we serving. We are serving a powerful God. There are some times where your situation is going to cause you to say, hey, okay, hold up now. I know that maybe some nurses in here can speak to this, but sometimes you may not be able to refer to the textbook. You're just going to have to rely on faith. Amen?
You don't have to rely on faith. Let me tell you something. You can pray and pray and pray and say, I'm praying to God, but I don't see nothing happen. Well, you got to wait and trust. There's going to come a point in time in your life where you're just going to have to trust. I understand you're praying. You say, I pray every day, Pastor. Okay, that's great. But now I want you to move into the next phase. What is that? And that is to trust. Stop telling me you're praying every day. I get that. I understand that. Now move and grow up and trust him. We need to understand this. First responders need some toughness. Because I guarantee you, they see some things that, man, I know it gets them down. They're like, oh, Jesus. I mean, they're seeing all kind of stuff, whether it be babies or just in this people just brutally murdered, or they have to, you know, they take that stuff home with them. They have to have an area of toughness. So we as Christians, you know, not everybody's going to be happy. Not everybody's going to be excited when you approach them. People are going to falsely accuse you. Let me tell you something. When you start being falsely accused, you ought to start shouting right there. I'm telling you, I'm serious. I'm going to tell you again. When somebody falsely accuses you for something, I'm telling you, tell them to hold your mule and start shouting. Because let me tell you something. That's the same thing that happened to Jesus. So that lets me know that you're hot on his trail. So first responders, it's a state of readiness. Sometimes, you know, I believe that they have to, no wonder they have what they call I can't even think of the word, but I know they have counselors. And the thing about it is, I know they go to them. And man, you can wear them out. And you know that. Y'all know that. So what I'm trying to get us to understand, we need to stay in a state of readiness. A state where we are constantly ready, because we don't know the day nor the hour that the Lord shall appear, that he shall return. See, the difference between the five wise virgins and the foolish wise is salvation. These foolish virgins were not once saved, but then they ran out of salvation. No, they were lost and never had it. They never had all. They were just empty lamps. They looked useful. They seemed to give promise of light, but they never produced it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They walking around with it, but they ain't producing anything. They can't even shine a light, man. All of the parables have to do with being ready for Jesus' return, but we are seeking to discern the unique message of this parable. Here we are. What is Jesus saying to his disciples? Notice that he came, this was a private conversation. I don't know of any crowds that was there or any Jewish religious leaders were present. This is a private instruction for those who are followers of Jesus, or who, let's say this, think they are. So we should keep in mind that Judas was also there. And he was among the 12 who heard this parable, and he was not a true believer. This parable, like the others in this section, instructs us to be ready when Jesus returns to earth. We have to be ready. If we are not ready, we will be left behind. Period. There's no exceptions or no anything. I'm trying to get you to understand that we don't know when we're going to check out from here. While the people were listening to these things, Jesus proceeded to tell a parable because he knew that he was near to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. It wasn't going to appear immediately. Jesus was basically teaching them what is going to happen and what is going to come. He's preparing us, getting us ready. The one thing that I tell you that people hate in life when you're in school is pop quizzes. I'm telling y'all, I hated them pop quizzes. Why? Because the pop quizzes basically really test your knowledge. It tests what you have learned. It tells the teacher what you don't know. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'm telling you, it's really bad when, I mean, you know that it's coming. If you have one of those type of teachers, those are good teachers to me. Because they are testing your knowledge. They're trying to prepare you for the big exam that is coming. They want to make sure what you know, and if you are lacking in any area, they're trying to get that area up. Amen? They're trying to get you to come up in that area. It's not to belittle you, but it's only to help you. But the pop quizzes are really bad, and that's when a lot of people fail. Because we think we got it. It's like I was training a person, man, and I mean, she just started on a job, and I'm training her, telling her everything. They ain't taking no notes. Amen. They ain't taking no notes or anything. I'm sitting there looking, and I said, this person ain't taking no notes. I gave her a notepad and pen, all of that. She ain't taking no notes. And I'm talking to my inner self. Because I'm saying she's going to be asking me this question again. And I'm going to say, I went over it. And she's going to say, no, you didn't. And I'm going to say, yes, I did. I'm just sitting there going, I ain't taking no notes. I ain't preparing herself. And lo and behold, and then the situation came up. And she said, I wasn't taught that. Oh, yes, you was. I got mad. I said, you signed off on it. She did. She did sign off on it. But what I'm trying to get you all to understand, we don't prepare ourselves. We think we could all retain it up here. No. No, some of us can't remember what we did just a few minutes ago. Let me tell you just laughed. Some of us have a hard time retaining things, but we need to understand that when God is telling us that he is coming back, we need to be in a state of readiness. Amen? He's letting us know we need to be in a state of readiness. Jesus is warning us in this parable that there will be a number of people who look like Christians, who associate with Christians, and who even think they are Christians, who would be shocked to learn that they are not saved. And that's not funny, but people are walking around thinking that they're Christians. You understand what I'm saying? But they don't have the Spirit inside of them. This text is not being, this scripture, this particular chapter is not trying to create uncertainty and doubt in the heart of Christians. It is not seeking to rob the Christian of his assurance, but it is seeking to warn those who have a false assurance. Okay? But not salvation. In the last days, just as Jesus said, no one knows the day nor the hour. There would be those who would appear to be Christians, but there are not. Some people, I'm going to tell you something. There are some people I know, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say this to you. They are excellent speakers. Man, I'm going to tell you they are excellent speakers, but I'm going to tell you something. They are not saved. How do I know that? It ain't that I'm being judgmental. I'm telling you what they're saying. But I'm going to tell you something. When they start speaking, you'll be like, oh, man. Oh, man, you're saying something deep. But you talk about Christ to them and say something about nothing. Their lamps are empty. There's no oil in it. There's no Holy Spirit in them. Y'all follow what I'm saying? But what am I mean? They have a gift of speaking. They can speak eloquently. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm gonna even throw it out there to you. There's people that's out there in the world that don't even attend church that can quote the Bible better than me, and I went to theology school. But if you ask them about coming to church, being saved, all that, no, this is serious. I mean, Tom talking about can quote scriptures better than Some of us, they know more than Jesus wept. You know, we like to use those easy ones. Jesus wept. Shortest scripture in the Bible. We want to say that one. Jesus wept. Okay, I'm done. No. These people can literally quote their scriptures. They know the word of God. And you would think that, oh, man, this is what the Bible is talking about. People would appear to be Christians. And people will follow an individual like that. Y'all follow what I'm saying? They will follow an individual like that. Why? Because they're hypnotized by their words. The Bible says, watch out for false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are wolves. This is serious. People are hiding behind their personality. We should remember that when Jesus spoke these words of warning in the parable of the 10 virgins, Judas was among them. And Judas was not a believer. His true spiritual condition came as a great shock to the 11. I think that if Peter really knew who Judas was, Peter would have jacked him up. Y'all know he would have. Peter would have lit him up if he really knew. It took Jesus to keep Peter from that. Because I'm telling you, because Peter would have lit into Judas. One of Peter's nicknames is the Big Mouth Bass. He had a big mouth on him. His mouth would get him in trouble. See, I believe that the five foolish virgins had no oil for the very same reason people continue to run out of gas. Even when the flashing message on their panel is telling them they are low on fuel, first, meaning they don't believe the message. Amen? You see, your gauge has now gone closer to E than it is to F. Not so much so that not only that is enough to tell me I need to get some gas. I mean, I at least try to do it when it's halfway. That way it won't be so much out of my pocket. Y'all understand what I'm saying? That, to me, makes more sense. When you don't have a tank, try to fill that baby up. Because if you don't, you'll pay more. But my point is, when that hand is closer to the E, that should tell you I need gas. But we wait till that warning light comes on. And then when the warning light comes on, oh, I know I drove about, let's see, Ramadan. I think I got about 50 miles on it the last time. So I think I can get a little bit more. I mean, that's what we do. They don't think that things are as bad as they are when the warning light come on. See, here's the thing. People think that they have more gas than they think they do. See, I've gotten this same message before that, you know, well, it's not going to, I didn't run out of, last time I came this way, the light was on, and I didn't run out of gas right here, so I can keep going a little bit further and just stretch it a little bit. Those who run out of gas or refuse to buy oil are the people who refuse to heed the warnings of God's word and the invitation of salvation through faith in Jesus. Those who don't purchase fuel are those who don't think they need it, at least at the moment. Amen? Amen. When I see that hand goes towards the E, I say, oh, I need to get some gas. I'm looking for the gas station. Now, let me tell you something. I know they got different prices, but right now I need gas. I ain't trying to look for a different price. I mean, I look at that later, but right now I need to find a gas station that's going to fill me up. Those who run out of gas think everything appears to be fine at the moment. The engine is running smoothly. No problem there. There are no sputtering on the engine, or so we feel confident in our choice not to purchase fuel. Jesus told us that he would come at a time when we did not expect it. Apparently, our Lord is coming would be like in a peaceful time. What I mean by peaceful time? Well, everything is going right in your life right now. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You ain't thinking about the Lord. He's going to come in a time where he's going to catch us off guard. How many of you have ever got caught off guard before? I know y'all ain't gonna raise your hands, but all of y'all been caught off guard. And you're not gonna admit it, but my point is, when you got caught off guard, did you like it? No. I remember playing ball. That pitcher better not pitch that ball until I put my glove on my hand and I'm in my position. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem. Don't catch me off guard. So the coming of the Lord was not to be immediate, as the disciples supposed, but at much more distant time. Again, I said 2018. That's 2 days to God. That's 2 days. To us, we like, man, so-and-so is gone, this is gone, and that is gone. This person been dead for 100 years. This person been dead, and Lord still ain't returned. And people are saying God has forgotten about us. No, it's just 2 days to God. But to us, that's a lifetime. So, but when he does come, it will be without a warning. He's going to come. He's going to show up. Kind of like sometimes when your kids are acting a fool and you kind of showed up and they didn't expect you, their eyes got big. Amen. I mean, I remember, man, I'm going to tell you, growing up with, I had a lot of cousins that I grew up with, man, and I'm going to tell you, boy, I ain't going to confess right now. You know, I already did. So y'all can't get me on that. I already did. Nah, y'all just want to be nosy and know what I did. But I hadn't already confessed to that. But I'm just saying, man, we were cutting up. I'm talking about cutting up. And, man, my grandfather would walk by, warning number one, mess up, I'm going to get you. And we still cutting up back then. I mean, man, we having some fun. And, man, it was boom, you know, stuff. You bumping up against the wall. I mean, just doing all kind of stuff. And my grandfather come through there again. Keep on, I'm going to get you. And I'm whistling. And man, we back there laughing and playing. And I thought about sister. Hold up. That was, granddad came by two times. I'm quitting. I don't want to play no more. So I got to go to the bathroom. I don't know. Anything to get out of the room. But man, that fun was hard to turn her loose. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Man, y'all listen to me when I'm telling you. We were having some belly aching laughs that was funny. It was hard to pull myself from that, but I've been warned twice. The next time, I don't know if that was going to be a warning. I just know that it may have been swift. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because my grandmother did that one time. We were in the room, man, and my cousin, God bless her, had an attitude. And just cutting up. And, man, honestly, I thought my grandmother was Zorro. She came in there with a switch. I'm minding my own business, sitting there, and my grandmother came in there. Woo-hoo. That's all I remember. I mean, she came in swinging. I mean, and she left out. I said, ha, 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 ha. And then I'm looking at my cousin. You the cause of this. She came, her judgment, listen to what I'm saying. She didn't warn us. Y'all follow me? There was no warning. She came in, politely grabbed the switch, came in the room, tore us all up. Didn't say nothing. We didn't get educated on nothing. We didn't get talked to. She didn't do any of that stuff. All she came in and just started swinging. And we were in tears. And she left out. And they played the theme song as she left. That's how we were tore up. As she was walking out of the room, they played the theme. So I heard a theme song come up. As if, you know, I was like, oh, that's just not right. As I look back on that. But what Jesus is trying to get us to understand Are we ready? Do you have oil? Amen. Let me translate. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Because the only thing, people have a hard time as I close. People have a hard time understanding how we're going to meet in the sky. It ain't going to be hard. It ain't going to be hard. Because if you ever played with a magnet before, you know that a magnet can track another magnet. It don't have to come all the way down. All it has to do is come halfway, and whatever is down there, if the same thing is in it, it will be caught up. So this is how people don't understand how we're going to be meeting in the air. Because the same spirit that's in Jesus Christ, if you got it in you, you will be caught up. That's just that simple to me. That same power that raised him from the dead, that same power is going to be in us. We're going to be caught up. This is why I'm telling you, you got to be ready. If you are not ready, you ain't going to have no lift. You ain't going to have no lift. But if you got the Spirit of God in you, boy, you're going to have some lift. Woo!
God bless you. God bless you. Woo!
I know. Man, we're gonna get light on our feet. Ain't nothing gonna be holding us down. Amen. Doors of the church is now open.